Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to not only the one who speak, those who hear. I pray that you fill us with your spirit of wisdom and understanding so that we know you better. And help us to not only know your will through the power of the Holy Spirit, and help us to put what we learn into practice so that we be blessed not only in this life and in the life to come. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother and sister, in order for us to understand the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you just read that, you won't understand what he's trying to say. Right beside 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you make sure that you go home and read 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And then you go back to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then you have a better understanding what Paul is trying to say. And the recipients of the 1 and 2 Corinthians, some of the people, they don't believe in what Paul is trying to say. But God is the one who carry out the prophecies that make by Paul. And God himself proved to the church of Corinth that Paul is the faithful servant of the Lord. And if you listen to what Paul is trying to say to you, that means you listen to Jesus Christ. You deny his teaching. And I'm afraid that you deny Jesus Christ. Just like you also write that down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8, the same kind of teaching. Paul said that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8, therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God. This man is Apostle Paul, who gives you his Holy Spirit. If you reject God, that means you lost the gifts of the Holy Spirit. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have any blessing. The Holy Spirit is just like a passport to go through the custom. When you're coming back from U.S., go through the custom to the Canadian custom, you cannot enter Canada back. You say, look at my face, I look like Canadian. It doesn't work this way. Show me your passport. If you do not have a passport, you cannot enter Canada. Okay? So in other words, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You say, wow, you know, Pastor John, I've been going to the church all my life. My father is a Christian and I'm a Christian. Prove it. Prove it that you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. If you reject the teaching given by Paul, that means you reject God. God is the one who gives you the Holy Spirit. Okay, now I'm going to explain verse by verse. I changed my mind. At first, I want to just talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. I want to go all the way to the end, to the 17. I know that today is a Holy Communion, but I'm going to rush through it and so that we see a big picture and what Paul trying to say. And there's two points that that Paul want to make. He give us the reasons why he's writing the 1 Corinthians, especially the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 5, okay? The reason why he write that, because he didn't want to come to the church of Corinth and then find out the people rejected him and not repenting. There's no point for a pastor to come to your church and if you refuse to listen to him. So that's why he say, I plan to go to your church twice, but now he changed his mind. He only go it one more time. And he's not going to come back until the Lord going to do something. In other words, until the Lord discipline this church, then he come back. So this teaching is very, very serious, okay? I want you to have a full understanding of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. So I make up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. Why Paul not making another painful visit? Because whatever he say, if the Lord hasn't done anything, and there's no point to keep on saying it. He say something, and then he want to make sure that the Lord going to do something about that, then he's going to come back. And I want you to write that down, right beside 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You write down the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. As far as Paul is concerned, he's the messenger of Jesus Christ. His task is to deliver God's message, is to deliver what Jesus Christ wants him to say. But it's not good enough for the pastor to say what God wants to say. It's very important after the pastor said what he has said, God has to do something. So in verse 19, a servant cannot be corrected by mere word. Right beside mere word, you circle the word in verse 18, revelation. Just having the revelation is not good enough. You have to have the work of God done in the church of Corinth. So I read that again, verse 19, a servant who hears the revelation from the servant of God is not good enough. A servant cannot be corrected by mere words. Though he understand, he will not respond. Right beside that. You know when people respond to God? When God discipline him. When God do something, then you know, wow, this God is a righteous God. He meant what he say. You know, just like you go to I heard that my daughter say to me, now in her company, the company announced that from now on, no one is allowed to carry a smartphone in your pocket. No vibration either. Because I pay you good money, I want you to produce. Anyone get caught to use the cell phone during the office hour, you'll be disciplined, you send you home. Second time, you're out. And if another, let's say one of the worker challenged their supervisor, and the supervisor says, oh, I'm just joking, you know, it didn't do anything. You know what? Next day, everybody carried the cell phone, right? When the supervisor say, you go home now, I see you next week. You do it one more time, you don't have to come back. You know what? Everybody leave the cell phone in the car. Everybody say, hello? Unless you say, I don't care about the job. I tell you one thing. If the job with the good pay, you care about that. Same thing in here. When God says something, you pay no attention to it. Until it is something in your life, you pay attention very carefully. Okay? So go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul said that I make up my mind that I will not make another painful visit to you because I've seen that I say something, you haven't changed, so there's no point for me to come back. Why? Go back to chapter 1, verse 23. I call God as my witness that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. Paul do not want to keep on disciplining the people he ministered to. He just want to tell them what's the message of Jesus Christ and give them time to change. If he hasn't changed, he didn't want to come back to have another painful visit. He allowed Jesus Christ to do something first. Okay? So that's why, do you remember that he wanted to go to Corinth twice, right? He wanted to go to Macedonia through the city of Corinth. And then coming back from Macedonia, back to Corinth. Okay, that's his planning. Because he thinks that the word of God is very powerful. He expects God going to carry out his prophecy. But God hasn't done it yet. But when God done it, then he come back. Verse 2. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad? But you, whom I have grieved. I want you to write beside 2:2, chapter 2, verse 2. You write down 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. I read that to you because I think that you don't remember what is written in 1 Corinthians a few months ago. Okay? And brother and sister, I want to tell you a secret. In order for you to understand the scripture, don't go and jump and read Bible like this. You know, I know a lot of Christians, they read the Bible like this. Oh, turn to this page. Oh, Lamentation. And then I read Lamentation. And next day, turn the Bible. Oh, Psalm 99. And then read Psalm 99. You don't do that. You will never understand the scripture. You have to read the book chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's how you understand the scripture. Without reading the 1 Corinthians, no way you can understand the 2 Corinthians. Okay? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I read that to you. Just read it to you. You understand where I'm coming from. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief? Circle the word grief. Write 2 Corinthians chapter 2. When things happen like this, not even happen in a pagan, not a believer, and yet it happened in the church of God, and they feel so proud of that. Paul said that, shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did that? Kick him out. Kick him out. And then the Bible say, I read that again. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. I have already passed judgment. I want you to write that down. Past judgment, come first. And then 2 Corinthians, forgiveness, come second. If you do not pass judgment to that brother that offended God and commit sexual immorality, not even the pagan will do that. If you do not put him out of the fellowship, that means we can partake the Holy Communion. Do not allow him to take the Holy Communion. And kick him out. And then the Bible says, I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord is present. Hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Kick him out, not to destroy his life. Kick him out, do not allow him to take the Holy Communion, and then hand him to Satan. When Satan destroy his health, his body, and then he will turn around and he will repent. And on the day of judgment, he will be saved. The Lord discipline is not to destroy your life, brother and sister. The Lord discipline because he loves you. He didn't want you to go to hell. And that's why he disciplined you. Through that discipline, your life will be changed. When your life is changed, then Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, forgive this fellow. Because he suffered enough pain already. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You kick him out, hand him to Satan, and let Satan to punish him. And then when he get the punishment, he can think it through, he will realize, wow, what God say is true. and I better turn around. Exactly what happened. In 2 Corinthians, that fellow who took his father's wife to be his own wife, to commit this sexual immorality, and the whole church feel proud of that, and no one did anything about that, no one tried to save him. And Paul say that, I do this, I pass this judgment, because the Lord Jesus Christ want me to do it. You know what? When Paul say that, hand him to Satan, and Satan do nothing, and the Lord did not discipline him, then Paul is a false prophet. But whatever he say, whatever Paul say, and the Lord carry it out, then Paul is the faithful servant of God. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, they try to discredit the credibility of Paul. But Jesus Christ uphold him. And this is my faithful servant. Whatever he say, you better listen. You rejected him, you rejected me, and I'm the one who give you the Holy Spirit. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature of this man may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast worked through the whole batch of dough? In other words, only one man sins against God in this way. If God did not do anything about that, the whole church will be changed. The whole church will commit adultery. So get rid of this old yeast, and you may be a new batch without yeast. As you really are, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, therefore let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 9, I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy, or the swindler, or the idolater. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who call himself a brother, call himself a Christian, call himself a child of God, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or a slanderer or a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. You know, I'm afraid. I have to add something, you know. Our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to legalize the marijuana in August. Brother and sister, do not associate with anyone, not only drunkard, the one who drink alcohol. Do not associate with anyone who smoke marijuana, okay? I know it's legal now. If your mind is so filled with that kind of stuff, your mind will not be filled with the Word of God. And whatever you hear, the Word of God, you're going to reject it. And I'm afraid you're not rejecting man. I'm afraid that you're rejecting God. God is the one who gives you the Holy Spirit. What this worldly people doing, the Christian, do not associate with them. Don't do what they do. With such a man, do not even eat. Don't eat with him. What business it is of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? So judge this person who has his father's wife, judge him. Are you not to judge those inside? Yes. God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you who takes his father's wife to be his own wife. That's the background. When Paul write this letter, Paul tried to test to see whether they obey Paul's teaching. Lo and behold, they obey. That's the second reason why Paul write the 2 Corinthians. The first reason, I write this letter in 1 Corinthians. I want you to obey me. Do not associate with such a man, lest he change your life and you won't change his life. Lest that he go to hell and then he direct you to go to hell. And he writes you to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, so that when he come, when you repent and when he come, he will be joyful with you. That's the main reason. First reason. Second reason, he wants to test to see whether the congregation listen to his teaching. And lo and behold, they listen. Of course, some people don't listen. You know, you keep on reading chapter 3 all the way to chapter 13, you find out that some people still do not listen. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he tells you why he did not listen. Because he did not have the Holy Spirit within his heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? You know what make Pastor Paul happy? The one who take his father's wife to be his own wife, if he turn around, confess his sins, renounce his sin, and don't do it anymore, that make Paul very happy. Okay? And make Jesus Christ very happy too. And that's what chapter 2, verse 2 is saying. Verse 3, I wrote right beside, I wrote, is the 1 Corinthians. I wrote 1 Corinthians as I did, so that when I came, I should not be distressed by those who ought to make me rejoice. How to make the pastor rejoice? How to make Jesus Christ rejoice? Whatever he say to you, you do it. You just not just be the hearer of his word. You do something about that. You obey him. That make God happy. And I have confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. What's the reason why Paul has the confidence that they will turn around? You remember, you write that down right beside here. In verse 3, I have confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. I know that you will repent, especially after God disciplined you. Because in the book of Acts, chapter 18, Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, remain in the city of Corinth. I have many people in here. Keep on preaching. Do not be afraid. So that's why Paul has confidence that whatever he say, congregation will listen to him. Verse 4, for I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears. Why with many tears? Right beside with many tears. Because if they don't change, they keep on doing what they're doing, the whole church will be changed by that fellow who take his father's wife to be his own wife. The whole church will go to hell. So that's why Paul writes this 1 Corinthians with many tears, because he did not want the people that who received the 1 and 2 Corinthians to go to hell. Not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. Brother and sister, if your parents tell you something not to do, you better listen. If your pastor tell you something you don't do, you better listen. It is for your own good. Okay? Because he say that out of love. Verse 5. If anyone has caused grief, and that one is the one who take his father's wife and his own wife. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. Actually, right beside that, 2:5, you go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. When you see that such a man take his father's wife to be his own wife, and chapter 5, verse 2, and you are proud of that, shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief? You know what I mean? Paul said, it's not only grieved me, it's grieved all of you, man. That's no good. Okay, go back. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Of course, to some extent, because he didn't want to say it so severely. Some of them, they still didn't change, okay? Verse 6, the punishment, right beside the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. What is that punishment? Disassociate with this man. Do not eat with him. Expel him out in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the punishment from the church. So the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him because he turned around. Now instead you ought to forgive. I want you to write that down. Chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. I judge him, come first. When I see that he turned around, I forgive him. You write that down. Paul warned the entire church to judge him. Judge him, come first. And then number two, forgive, come second. And then something got to happen in between. What is in between? He repent. Why? You write that down. I want you to write that down. Judge him in 1 Corinthians 5. Forgive him, 2 Corinthians 2. And then repent. You write down Proverbs chapter 28, 13. A sinner, when he hear the word of God, realize that he is a sinner, and he try to cover up all his sin, he will not be prosperous. If a sinner hear the word of God and realize that he is a sinner, and he confess it, and he renounce it, he say that I'm not going to do it anymore, that means he repent. He will find mercy from God. He will find forgiveness from God. Because God is faithful. I want you to write that down. Right beside Proverbs 28, 13, you write down Psalm 32, 5. When King David committed adultery, sins against God, he tried to cover it up, and God did not let him go. When he just about to die, and he said to the Lord, I confess my sins before you, and you are faithful, you are just, and you forgive all my sins. That's the Old Testament teaching. King David said, I will confess my sins, my transgression to the Lord. I don't want to cover up anymore. And then you forgave the guilt of my sin. Right beside chapter 32, verse 5, you write down 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, if you confess your sins and renounce your sins, the Lord is faithful, the Lord is just, the Lord is righteous. He will forgive all your sins and cleanse all your unrighteousness. That is the good news. That is the gospel. You try to cover it up. You try to give all kind of excuse. You not go anywhere. And the Lord will keep on judging you until you turn around. I remember, you know, when I disciplined my daughter, you know, my daughter say, you know, my daughter quoted the psalm. Say, Daddy, could you forgive me? I confess my sin. I say, yeah, of course. Because I'm a sinner too, you know. If I do not forgive your sin, my sin will not be forgiven too, you know what I mean? Oh, that girl is very, very smart, you know. Could you block out all my iniquity because of your mercy? Because, oh, God, you know, I want to follow Jesus, you know what I mean? That's the right thing to do. You quoted the Bible, you ask God to forgive you, you got it, man. You try to cover it up, you're not going anywhere. So I say that one more time. First come the judgment, kick this guy out, expel him out, and hand him to Satan, let him get the punishment. When he turn around, you better forgive him because we are all sinners too. Everybody say? So I want you to write beside all this. You write down Jeremiah chapter 18, 7 to 8. When the Lord say, I'm going to judge you, when the Lord say, I'm going to hand you to Satan, and I'm going to let Satan to discipline you, to punish you, destroy your flesh, sinful nature, so that your soul, your spirit will be saved on the day of judgment, whatever God say, he will carry it out. But when you hear that, you fear God, you say, oh, I'm turning around. If you turn around, God say, okay, I relent. I don't do it. Jeremiah 18:7, if at any time I announce that a nation or a kingdom or even a person is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation, if that man, that woman I warn, repent of its evil, did not cover it up, turn around, confess it, and renounce it, and I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. That is the good news. You don't tell him that, he won't know. But first come the judgment, then come the forgiveness. In between, has to have repentance. Okay, I go keep going. 2 Corinthians, verse 6, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Now, instead, you ought to forgive him and comfort him because he repent. He turned around so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. If a person overwhelmed by excessive sorrow, he will go to hell. And I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. The reason I wrote you in the 1 Corinthians was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Verse 10, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And whatever I have forgiven, if there's anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. I want you to write that down. That forgiveness is from Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that judgment is not from Paul. That judgment is from who? From Jesus Christ. And then that forgiveness is also from where? From Jesus Christ. Okay? So a servant of God, like Paul, he preached the word of God. He passed the judgment on this fellow. It's in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he forgive in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. In order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his scheme. Satan come is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus Christ come is to give you life and to have abundant life. Verse 12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord has opened a door for me, I still have no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus. Because I did not find my brother Titus there, so I say goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. Right beside the word, my brother Titus, you write down 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In other words, when Paul writes the second chapter, he hasn't met Titus yet because he sent Titus to the church of Corinth to see the condition of the church, to see whether they obey Paul's teaching, to see whether they are still rejoice, you know, seeing one of the brother taking his father's wife as his own wife, they feel proud about that, or they feel grief about that and turn around. Because he sent Titus to go there and find it out. But Titus hasn't come back, so Paul has no peace, then did not stay in Troas and go back to Macedonia. By the time when Paul writes the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Titus come back and tell him the good news. So you just have to wait until I preach about 2 Corinthians chapter 7, then I will go back and explain clearly. Okay? Because I want to finish it. I want to finish the 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to go on to verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always lead us in triumphant processions in Christ, and through us spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Paul, we all know that. Paul has the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, right beside knowledge, you'll go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul said that in verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, because he has the knowledge of Christ. Through this knowledge, he has the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, what does this fragrance mean? In other words, this fragrance means either he can give you light or he can give you death. When you smell that fragrance, either you are alive or you are dying. Verse 15. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. I want you to write that down. Not everyone who hears the word of the Lord, not everyone who hear the word of the Lord will believe. Some believe, some don't believe. Those who believe will have eternal life. And those who don't believe will perish, will go to hell. I give you some more reason, biblical word promises, so that you know your condition. When you believe, it's not that you are smart that you believe, okay? I want you to know for sure. It is because of the help of the Holy Spirit. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. When Paul preached about Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe in it, don't feel proud about that. It is because the Holy Spirit who moved you to believe. Okay? As it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say, Jesus be cursed. If you curse Jesus, it is not because the Holy Spirit is in you that you cause you to curse Jesus. It is because the evil spirit who is in you that you curse Jesus. Except by the Holy Spirit. I read that one more time. I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not in your heart and moving you to say that, listen to that pastor. He said that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God. You better believe in Him. It is the Holy Spirit that in your heart to move you to say amen, to say that. I want you to write that down too. Right beside 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 3. You write down, not equal. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. If you have the evil spirit within your heart, it is the evil spirit that is within your heart cause you to disobey Jesus. cause you to curse God. I read that to you, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin. Because at that time, you ignore the teaching of God. You do not confess your sins. You cover up your sin. You conceal your transgression, your sin. So whoever conceal his sin, cover it up, do not acknowledge it, he will not be prosperous. According to King Solomon, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. But if you confess it and renounce it, the Lord say you will find mercy. In which in sins and transgression you used to live, you live in sins, you live in transgression at that time when you disobey, when you follow the way of this world and follow the way of the ruler of the kingdom of this world. And the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, that spirit is evil spirit. Brother and sister, either you have the Holy Spirit within your heart being a Christian, or if you claim yourself to be non-Christian, you're atheist, I tell you one thing. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, because you disobey Jesus, what kind of spirit within your heart? It is the evil spirit within your heart. I want you to write that down. Right beside here, you write down 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Apostle John said that, don't believe in all kind of spirit. You got to test the spirit first. In other words, especially if you go to Brazil and someone give you the American dollar, you don't just take it for granted that's a genuine American dollar. There's so many counterfeit. You got to test it. But in Canada, in US, not very many counterfeit US dollar. But in the third world, there's a lot. You know, I remember a few years back, I went to Brazil, and someone approached me when I deplaned from the airport. You know, the guy gave me $620 US dollar. Say, do you mind to give me $100 US dollar? I want to change it. I want to have one US dollar. I give you $620. The first one is good, but the other five is no good. Don't be greedy, okay? Why would he give you 20% more? Because that's counterfeit. Test it first. Go back to First John chapter 4, verse 1 and chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that who acknowledge Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, has come in the flesh, is from God. If he denies Jesus is the Son of God, denies Jesus the Christ, he is the Antichrist. Verse 3, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, their spirit is not from God. Their spirit is evil spirit. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Now, 4:4 is very good. What is in me is the Holy Spirit. What is in the world is the evil spirit. Holy Spirit is greater than the evil spirit. Chapter 4, verse 4, you, dear friends, are from God and have overcome them. Overcome the one have evil spirit because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Because the one who is in you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is greater than the one who is in the world, the evil spirit. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, my friend, you waste of time to come to the church. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. When you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, When you smell the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it will give you life to life, from life to life. But if you have the evil spirit within your heart, and you smell the fragrance, the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it will cause you from death to death. In the NIV translation, he didn't have that because he just wanted to make it simple so that you have understanding. But in the NASB, when you smell the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it will cause you to have eternal life and cause you to live abundant life, to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. But if you do not have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you are walking dead, because anyone who do not have the Holy Spirit is a dead man. And he keep on walking, he keep on doing his own thing. When he die, then he go to hell. That's why the Bible say, the original language say, from death to death and from life to life. When you smell the fragrance of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you hear the word of God and you are happy about that, and I tell you, my friend, you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. But when you hear the gospel, when you hear the word of God, you feel very uneasy. You know what makes you feel uneasy? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 4, because you have the evil spirit within your heart. You know what? You can ask Jesus to help to kick that evil spirit out of your heart. The evil spirit come into your life is to cause you to go to hell. The Holy Spirit come into your life is to cause you to have eternal life and to have abundant life. I keep on reading it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always lead us in triumphant procession in Christ, and through us spread everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Who can do that? It is God who called Paul to be an apostle to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is not Paul he wanted to take up the task. It is God who gave him the task to do it. Verse 17. Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Is this part? We have internet in here, right? Can you get into the BibleGateway.com? Can you get to a newer translation, NASB? I want to see. Okay, can you get it? We have internet, right? You cannot get it to internet? Huh? Very slow? Not to mention about Paul, the servant of God. He has a full knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that when you interact with Paul, you can smell the fragrance, the aroma of the knowledge of Christ. Because he know God, he know the mind of Christ. So whatever he preach, whatever he teach, is the message of Jesus Christ. When you hear the message of Jesus Christ, you either believe or you reject. And you have to ask yourself today, if you reject, you have to know the consequence if you reject. If you reject, that means you haven't had the Holy Spirit. Because the evil spirit loves to dwell in those who disobey God. Okay? Make sure that today you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. Make sure that when you hear the word of God, you don't feel upset. You feel glad. When you realize that you are a sinner, you don't just feel grief about that, mourn about your own sin, contrite in your heart, and you ask God to forgive all your sins, cleanse all your unrighteousness. My God, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just. He will forgive all your sins and cleanse all your unrighteousness. He will give you a new beginning. He will take away your heart of stone. He'll give you a new heart. And then he will give you a new spirit. That's the Holy Spirit within your heart. And from this day on, when you have a new heart and new spirit, you will start to understand God's word. And you will grow into maturity from life to life. The more you smell the fragrance of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the more you will grow into maturity. Just like the path of light lead upward for the wise, keeping him from going down to the grave. The more you hear the word of God, the more you live for Jesus Christ. The more you grow into maturity. And that's what Paul said. That fragrance is very important. When you hear the word of God, does it make you upset or make you happy? That make a lot of difference. Only you know that whether you are happy about being able to come here today and hear the message, or you say, oh, I'm going to swear. The Bible says you shouldn't swear. And you say, I'm going to swear. I'm not going to come back. You know what I mean? It depends what is in your heart, man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Make sure you have the Holy Spirit within your heart. Our Heavenly Father, and help us to understand that aroma can cause people from death to death. The first death, because they don't have the Holy Spirit, they only have the evil spirit causing to die. And from death to death, that second death is go to hell. That is really, really bad. And help us to understand that. That aroma can cause you from life to life. The first life is eternal life. The second life, you have a resurrected body and live an abundant life. And live a good life with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, help us to understand your word. Help us to live our simple way so that we will live. Once we live, we walk in the way of understanding. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I do pretty good, eh? I finished 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in one setting, right? I just give you a recap. The reason to write the first letter, first reason, so that when Paul come back to your church, he will rejoice. He won't grieve. That first letter is to expel the old yeast, the wickedness, the transgression. Not so much to cause that fellow to go to hell. Just cause that fellow to suffer pain. When he suffer pain, he will turn around and consider and repent. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. When you are in distress, you should consider, why am I suffering like this? Is this from God? If it's from God, I better turn around. And that fellow, when he suffer pain, he confessed his sins. And Paul realized that he confessed his sins.
Paul say that, forgive him, because he repents. Just like what the Bible say. That's the first reason for writing the 1 Corinthians. Second reason is to test him. When I tell you to expel that guy, you say, yeah, he's my friend. How can I expel my friend? No, you got to save your friend. If you don't expel him, he will never be saved. Paul going to test to see whether they are faithful. And lo and behold, they are faithful. You know what? If you disobey your pastor teaching, you will never see the word of God. In conclusion, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 26, God carry out his servant prophecy to fulfillment. Okay? Isaiah 44, verse 26. God carry out the word of his servant. Make sure whatever his servant say. His servant say, expel him, hand him to Satan, and Satan will destroy his flesh, destroy his body, make him sick, make him so painful, he's going to turn around. But on the day of the Lord's judgment, his soul will be saved. Lo and behold, now he turned around. His body, his soul, his spirit was saved. Everybody say, is it good? So we just wait for them to come back, and then we're going to take the Holy Communion, right?